far from finished. Clover nudged some wet bushes out of the way and peered across the river. His eyes weren't all they once were, but he'd an unpleasant sense there were some familiar faces at the far end of the bridge.
"By the dead, my luck,"
he muttered, trying to catch any warmth his breath might hold in his cupped hands.
"Is that Trapper and his boys?"
"Aye," said Scholler. "The ones downside didn't kill leastways."
"Better that than leave scores at your back," said Downside.
Scholler rolled her eyes.
"And what about the score Trapper has against us because you killed three of his people?"
Downside scratched his thick beard as he pondered that.
"So you're saying I should have killed the rest too?"
Clover sighed.
"Life surely has a way of bringing old offences back to haunt you."
"It was only a few weeks back," said Flick.
"New offences then."
Clover had arrived with small expectations of living out the day, and his odds just took another tumble.
"You lot better stay out here."
"I'd no idea you cared, Chief."
"I don't."
He raised a brow at Flick.
"But you're so dumb you'd make things worse."
He pointed it at Scholler.
"And you're far too skinny to hide behind."
He pointed it at Downside.
"And let's not even start on you."
"Sure you want to wear that?"
asked Scholler.
"For this?"
Clover frowned down at the fine wolfskin cloak Stour used to wear. She had a point. Turning up to talk to Black Calder in his stolen son's stolen finery would be less than wise.
"Shit,"
he said, undoing the buckle with some reluctance, since it was by no means the weather for disrobing, and tossed it over to Scholler.
"If my luck's a lot better than usual, I'll see you back here soon."
"And if your luck's about like usual?" Scholler hissed after him, grinning as she pulled the cloak about her own bony shoulders.
"Then I reckon you got a good cloak out of it."
And Clover stepped from the trees, wedged his hands under his armpits, and trudged towards the bridge. Trapper stood at the far end with his thumbs in his sword belt and a wrinkle to his lip.
"If it isn't Jonas fucking Clover."
"It's the longer version of my name," said Clover, already shivering, "but used often enough that I'm obliged to answer to it."
"Funny."
It was the one with the lambskin coat, the one Downside coshed on the head last time they met.
"I'd find the sight of your guts funnier yet."
"You don't seem to be killing me, mind you."
Trapper turned his head and sourly spat.
"No."
"A better result than I'd expected, if I'm honest."
"Aye. Black Calder told us you'd be along."
"How did he know?"
"He's Black Calder, ain't he? Knowing things is what he's known for."
He held out his hand and snapped his fingers.
"Right you are."
Clover unbuckled his sword belt and handed it over. Could scarcely remember the last time he drew the damn thing, except to oil it anyway.
"You should know I regret what happened last time we met," he said, following Trapper up the muddy road.
"Didn't want anyone dead, but bloody Downside, he's one of those bastards leaves a trail of wreckage with every stride."
"You choose to have a man like that in your crew, you could do a better job of reining him in."
Trapper shook his head in disgust.
"You could hardly have done a worse."
"Not entirely fair," said Clover. "You're still casting a shadow."
No surprise that they walked the rest of the way in moody silence. There was snow on the sloping fields and the low stone walls and the bare trees on the valley side and on the steep roofs of the houses scattered towards the top. There were tents about too, and campfires and fighting men huddled close around their warmth. Fewer than Clover had been expecting, though. Thralls and carls, a few grizzled old faces he recognised. Not enough to pose any threat to Ricker, even now the Nail and his West Valley boys had cleared off. Maybe Black Calder had lost his edge. Happens to everyone in the end. Folk get comfortable, get so stuck on thinking they're the best, the strongest, the most cunning,
that when someone better, stronger, more cunning comes along, they don't even realize they're yesterday's bread. Not till it's too late. He was waiting under the ice-fringed eaves of the hall at the top of the hill. The man who'd ruled the north for 20 years. A little greyer, maybe, than last time Clover saw him. A little more lined, but wasn't everyone. He looked relaxed for a man whose dreams had all come crashing down.
Jonas Clover.
He spread his arms like he was greeting an old friend, a gesture which Clover found anything but reassuring.
Welcome to Carraholm. What do you think of the place?
A charming winter scene, said Clover as he looked back down the valley, catching his breath and trying to rub the chill from his pink fingertips.
I'm climbing a lot more hills than I'd like to be at my time of life, mind you.
Calder waved towards the smattering of men camped on the hillside.
You think mustering warriors was what I'd been planning for my dotage, you lazy bastard? I much preferred Carlion, but my fool of a son lost it. Give him his sword back, Trapper. What are you doing?
Trapper frowned sideways at Clover.
I thought, you know, he might try something.
It's Jonas Clover. What would he try? Bad jokes? There's probably not even a blade in the scabbard, just a spare sausage or something.
Clover felt a touch offended about that as he buckled his sword back on. Probably he shouldn't have. Offence did no one any good after all, and Calder was right. Trying anything here was the style a manly madness Jonas Steepfield might have contemplated, and look what happened to that idiot.
Let's get in out of the cold.
Calder turned towards the hall.
You're a connoisseur of sword work. You'll enjoy this.
As the doors were opened, the unmistakable clanging of steel on steel rang out. Blade music, as the scalds have it, making their living setting poetic terms to the world's horrors. Shadows danced among the carved rafters of the firelit hall, hot as a forge after the chill outside, bringing a prickle to Clover's frost-numbed extremities. Men sat on benches, drinking, eating, oohing and aahing at the sight of two men fighting, or maybe training, or one big man and a stringy lad. Seemed quite the mismatch at first, but as Clover got closer, he saw it wasn't going the way you'd expect. During his long and undistinguished career teaching sword work, he'd watched hundreds of boys practice with a blade, usually while wearing a look of pained disappointment. He'd seen no more than a dozen with any high talent for the business. It wasn't so much bravery that it took, which was reasonably common, as a lack of fear. Lack of fear that you'd get hurt, which was rare. Lack of fear that you'd hurt someone else, which, strange to say, was rarer yet. Thick black hair was stuck to the lad's face with sweat, and every time he outfoxed the big man, or slipped around one of his efforts, or brought a gasp from the onlookers, he noticeably didn't smile, or shout, or throw his arms up in triumph. It was like his face was sculpted from pale clay, and could make no expression at all. It wasn't so much a lack of fear, as a hole where his fear should have been. There was a scar between his mouth and his nose, a cleft lip.
I know this lad, said Clover,
fumbling off his hat and scrubbing at the sweaty wisps stuck to his pate.
He was with you that day I offered you an apple.
He was.
The boy darted around a lunge, flicked his sword out and nicked the big man's hand. He gasped through clenched teeth, blade dropping to the straw. The lad stepped in, sword raised.
Stop! Called Calder. I don't have so many warriors, you can go carving them up for your amusement. You remember Jonas Clover? Used to be Steepfield, won some duels.
And lost one, muttered Clover under his breath. I remember, said the lad, watching from behind that curtain of black hair. Showed no sign of respect, showed no sign of scorn, just took it all in.
Don't say much, does he? Said Clover. No, but he can make a sword sing.
A thick-set old bald bastard with a short grey beard had stepped up beside them. Clover didn't know his face, which was odd, since he thought he knew everyone in the North with a big enough name to start spilling his thoughts to Black Calder.
"He reminds me of a young Scarling in that regard."
"Really?" asked Clover, brows high, since Scarling Hoodless was back in the mud lifetimes ago.
"This is Baez."
Calder had acquired the grin of a man keen to please, which by no means fit him well.
"The first of the Magi."
Clover raised his brows even higher. That explained a few things. His being on intimate terms with long-dead heroes, for one. The way Black Calder scraped around him, for another. He hadn't the look of a legendary wizard, truth be told. Thicker in the neck and quicker to smile. But there was something in Baez's eyes as he took Clover's measure. Something that made him think this would be a bad enemy to have.
"Steepfield was the name?" he asked.
Clover had a policy of never setting Magi right.
"It was. Come to Curraghome, as I have no doubt, to make sure the proper person sits in Scarling's chair."
Since opinions might differ on the best arse to fill that uncomfortable piece of furniture, it was easy for Clover to give a hearty,
"That's right. We cannot have our plans for the North wrecked by some over-clever girl with a magic eye."
Clover cleared his throat.
"Without wishing offence, seems she's knocked him a bit crooked already."
Baez's eyes glittered in the light of the fire pit.
"Nothing that cannot be straightened out again with the right knowledge and the right friends."
All in good fun, it seemed, but there was a threat in there somewhere.
"You can never have too many friends," said Clover,
while thinking that there were a few a man was better off without. Calder was twisting one hand with the other, like a serving girl hoping some lord didn't take against the ale she'd poured him.
"You know how grateful I've always been for your help.
You lacked somewhat of manners when you first came to visit me, as I recall." Baez peered down his nose at Calder as if he was still a prideful pup. "But in all the years since the Battle of the Heroes, my support for you has never wavered."
"Nor mine for you."
Calder swallowed a little queasily.
"Manners should be answered with like manners, I've always felt."
"Well said. If only the younger generation had your hard-won wisdom." And Baez gave Clover a nod and made for the door, sparing a sideways smile at that black-haired lad, already making a fool of another grown warrior. Clover frowned after him.
"Haven't I heard you say the help of Magi is never worth the cost?" "He only shows up when he knows you've got no choice."
Calder's face had snapped back into its frown, like a bent willow switch snaps back into the shape it grew in.
"But there comes a time you have to play every card, no matter the price."
He led Clover past the fire pit to the high chair at its end, leaving the clash of steel and the appreciation of the warriors behind.
"This was my father's hall, before he took Carlion. This was where his dream of a North united was born."
"Like most births," said Clover, "I hear there was a lot of blood."
"Couldn't get anything done without a lot of blood in those days."
"And now?" Calder conceded the point with a little shrug of his shoulders and dropped into the chair Bethord must once have sat in.
"You want some ale, Clover?"
"I've never yet said no to ale." He swung one leg over a bench, tossed his hat down as a cushion, and perched himself by the fire pit, watched a girl slosh ale into a cup for him.
"Have to say, I feared I might not get so warm a welcome." "Always got along, haven't we?"
"We have." Clover glanced about at the hard faces, the hard hands near the hard weapons. He decided if Calder had wanted him dead, he wouldn't have wasted poison, and took a sup.
"But then I turned on you and your son."
Might have seemed madness to bring it up, but he judged it better to face it now than find it stabbing him in the arse later. Calder narrowed his eyes.
I'd assumed you must have come to tell me how sorry you are for that.
Lies would get him nowhere with Black Calder. The truth might not either, but he liked the odds better.
For turning on you, I'm sorry. For turning on your son, I'm not.
You're saying he deserved it?
I'm saying he fucking demanded it.
Calder sat back, tendons standing from the backs of his thin hands as he gripped the arms of his chair.
I heard Cole Shivers hobbled him.
Clover wiped sweat from his forehead and tried to flap some air in around his collar. By the dead, it was hot in here. He was doubly glad he'd left that cloak behind now.
He did. And the nail beat the snot out of him, and Tricky Ricker's keeping him in the cage he had forged for his own amusement. You can't say she don't have a sense of humour.
Fury wouldn't have surprised him, but all Calder did was stare into the glowing embers and slowly nod.
Might be he'll finally learn the lessons I could never bring myself to teach him. Love can be a weakness. I blame myself. I've done a bit of that down the years.
Clover took another swallow from his cup.
Didn't help.
Huh.
And Calder grinned at him, teeth shining in the light of the fire pit.
I still like you, Clover. I never can bring myself to trust loyal men. Can't understand the bastards.
I'm with you there.
Man who'll be loyal to someone might one day up and decide he'd rather be loyal to someone else.
He wagged a finger at Clover.
But a man whose first loyalty is to himself, it always will be. You don't pretend to be what you're not. You're reliable.
I am.
Let's say reliably unreliable, which makes you an interesting choice of messenger.
She didn't say so in so many words, but I've a feeling Ricker thought you might not listen to someone less flexible. Might send their head back in a bag, in fact.
But I won't send yours.
Clover scratched gently at his sweaty neck.
Honestly, I doubt she cares much on that score either way.
Clever, isn't she?
She is.
A little too clever for her own good, maybe.
Maybe.
So what's the message?
Clover leaned forwards, towards Calder, towards the warmth of the fire pit.
She sent me with an offer. Split the north. Leave it as it is now. She'll keep Ufrith and Carlion, you'll keep what you've got. And you get your son back.
Calder watched him, in silence, calm as a mountain lake. There was some laughter and clapping down where the sword work was happening. There was a crunch and a whirl of sparks as a glowing log shifted in the fire pit. Clover glanced around. Still the hard faces, the hard weapons. Still the ever-present threat of a quick trip back to the mud. He cleared his throat.
So?
Truth is, I'm tired, Clover.
Calder sagged back with a weary grunt.
Lots of folk gone back to the mud. My father, my wife, my brother. Friends beyond counting. I'm tired and I'm lonely and I can't remember when I last laughed. Maybe that's what she's counting on. Ruthlessness belongs to the young.
And he frowned into the fire like it was full of disappointments.
To those who don't know where it gets you.
So you'll make a deal?
Black Calder's eyes slid across to Clover's.
Make a deal with that scrag.
So you won't make a deal?
I'm tired. I'm not dead.
And he stood up.
Come with me.
Clover drained his cup, put his hat back on, and followed Black Calder out the back of the hall. There was a valley beyond the hill, too.
That's how hills and valleys work, after all. Snow on the fields, and the low stone walls, and the gorse and sedge on the slopes, and the roofs of the huts and the hovels.
This valley wasn't scattered with men, though. It was crawling with the bastards. Tents everywhere, dotted all the way down to the half-frozen stream in its bottom and up the far side again. fires and torches like stars in a night sky. He heard laughter and snatches of song and the constant clang of hammers from the many smithies, smoke drifting up in thin streams from their chimneys and into the pink evening.
"By the fucking dead," whispered Clover, slapped in the face by the sight and the cold both at once.
"Were you thinking that dusting out front was all I could gather?" asked Calder. "My son's mean temper might have bruised some feelings, but I've got a few friends yet. In the south, down near Ollansand, in the high valleys, up towards yours, a fair few men still wandering back from that fucking disaster in Middleland."
He pointed towards the top of the ridge ahead, where the fires were brightest, and as far as Clover could tell, there were ragged standards poking up against the chilly dusk.
"And thanks to the first of the Magi, I've some friends out beyond the Crinna, too. You meet Stand of the Barrows yet?"
"No, but I've a sense the name gives some hint of what to expect."
"You remember Stranger Come Knocking?"
"With some reluctance."
"Stand of the Barrows makes him look quite the humorist."
"And bringing the likes of them into the north is a strong notion?"
"Wasn't my choice. You're worried over the mess they'll make. I'd take it up with your friend Ricker."
"I'll get the chance."
"When we march on Carlion."
Clover gave a smoky sigh.
"I was worried you'd say that."
"I was thinking my work was done. Time to put my feet up, leave the plotting to the next generation. But you know what? I find I'm rather pleased to be called on to save the North once more."
"Ah, so you're the hero here, are you?"
"As a man who's been cast as both hero and villain, you should know better than anyone, Jonas Steepfield. The hero's whoever wins."
And Calder smiled out at all those fires, the deep lines spreading around the corners of his eyes.
"Reckon I've a trick or two to teach Tricky Ricker yet. No doubt she's crafty, but I heard she's making mistakes, heard she had a little falling out with the Nail."
"Aye, well, he's one of those bastards folks start falling out with the moment they meet him. You hear a lot."
"It's just a question of listening."
Calder took a satisfied breath of the chill evening air and let it sigh away.
"This was where my father's dream was born. One north, one nation with one king. My idiot brother's folly couldn't stop that dream. My idiot son's folly won't either. The dog man couldn't stop it, even with the whole union at his back. His daughter damn sure won't. Long eye, short eye, or whatever bloody eye." "I should bring my people into the warm," said Clover. "They're down in the woods at the... they're rounded up and disarmed."
"Really?"
"Really."
"Huh."
Clover scratched thoughtfully at his scar and resisted the urge to ask whether they'd live out the day. Calder knew what he was thinking anyway.
"Don't worry. I'm treating them as guests. I'm not my brother or my son. I don't break things I can use. There's only one question you need to worry about."
"Where I go to piss?"
"Which side you're on."
Clover puffed out his cheeks. In all the strutting and waste when Stow was in charge, he'd forgotten what a formidable bastard Black Calder could be. They're like that, thinkers. While your eyes are on the fighters, they creep up on you. This wasn't how he'd wanted it. But when was anything?
"Well, if I'm so damn reliable..."
He looked out at the valley and all those fires right to the far hills.
"You already know what side I'm on."